This is CBS Eye on the World. Hotel Mars, episode N, with Dr. Livingston, Dr. Space himself, the space show. And we're going to Earth orbit in the near future. There will be competing space stations for entertainment, for scientific research, perhaps for military development. Many nations will be participating, and commercial space stations as well. At least five enterprises underway attached to the United States Enterprise for orbital space stations, many different flavors. However, at the same time, it's important to look at other space stations under development. We're told the Chinese are developing their own future space station. They're building out the one that they have now. The ISS, the International Space Station, is due for retirement, either 24 or 28, somewhere in this decade. The new entry is the Russian Space Station, Russian Orbital Station, which I learned from Anatoly Zak, who keeps the Russian Space Web website. It's a subscription site. I recommend it highly because Anatoly follows Roscosmos, the original manned space operation. Anatoly, welcome and a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The Russian Orbital Station, originally known as the Power and Science Module, NEM, was originally designed, if I follow your reporting carefully, for the ISS, but it has now been or is being redirected to the primary element of the Russian space station. Is that correct? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Yes, this is absolutely correct. And this module, which is still on the ground and was originally designed exactly to go to the Russian segment of the International Space Station, is very important now. It's a centerpiece of the Russian space program for next decade and most likely for the much of the 2030s. So it's this decade, and probably if we look at the Russian spacecraft, which are right now on the space station, they were operating for almost 30 years, will be operating for 30 years by the time all said and done on the International Space Station. So we're talking about at least a decade and a half, or maybe two decades, or even three decades into the future for this spacecraft, which is right now being built. It started exactly like you said for the ISS, but now it's a centerpiece of the future station. But it needs to go through a number of modifications, upgrades, and changes in the design in order to serve as a not part of the ISS, but as a core, as a kind of centerpiece of the next space station.
And you feature the fact that there was a closed-door meeting recently this summer, bringing together all the designers and builders of the new module, especially RKK Energia, which is the building company, and the new leader of Roscosmos, Yuri Borisov. Is this a priority for Yuri Borisov, the new space station?
Yes and no. He proclaimed, once he was appointed to this position, he proclaimed that actually human space flight will not be on the first list of his priorities, but it will be on the list, but not the first item. So, however, it within the human space flight segment, which is, by the way, most expensive part of the space portfolio, at least civilian space program, that will be most important item. And of course, now there are many discussions which are going on about how to convert this particular spacecraft, which is kind of 50% built, into the spacecraft which can serve as a heart of the next space station for Russia.
David, you have a question for Anatoly.
Yes, Anatoly, is there any chance or speculation that part of this futuristic station might have a 1G rotating or spinning capsule or part to it, or getting rid of microgravity?
Yes, actually, there is a plan to have so-called inflatable module, which is, again, the station is modular. Their first priority is to launch this so-called core, they call it, core module, which is at the center of it. However, there will be a number of so-called peripheral modules, which they will be adding eventually. At least that's the plan if they have, again, money, expertise, and everything else. And one of them is so-called inflatable module, which is essentially, yes, soft skin structure, which they will inflate in space, will launch it folded, then it inflates, And that will be designed to carry centrifuge, small centrifuge. It's not like something where humans would be able to live and actually to create real artificial gravity like we see in the movies about travel to Mars. But it will allow to do experiments in space with different levels of gravity. For example, they could probably simulate for maybe small animals or for plants or for some chemicals, for some maybe alloys or some other experiments. They could place them inside of the centrifuge, spin it at a certain level, and see what can be done. So there are plans like that. But again, this is kind of in the background. It's the next step after they launch the main elements of the station. And it also depends, of course, on the budget, on the funding. And as we know, the financial situation is very difficult at this point.
Anatoly, you have several illustrations accompanying your explanation of the intention to launch Russia to launch its own space station. It's very handsome. It's not the way ISS looks, but it's the same elements: solar panels, docking stations for Soyuzes to come to the space station, crew compartments, and what I guess would be experimental compartments. It looks like a construction, very logical, straightforward, nothing bizarre, nothing too risky. So this technology already exists. Is that correct, Anatoly?
Yes, yes, with very important caveat. So the station will use all the classical kind of mechanisms which were used in the space station design. They will have solar panels, gyroscopes, engines, and so on, life support system, of course, and so on. However, its architecture, even though it looks like, for example, similar, a little bit similar to the ISS, even more similar to the Mir space station, well, one very important architectural difference. Because it's at the core of that station, there will be that small module with the six docking ports where you can plug it, kind of plug and unplug different modules. The lifespan of this station will be pretty much unlimited, because once you put this small element in space, and it's very reliable, very simple, and it's kind of intersection for all other pieces, you can plug other modules and unplug them as they operate according to their mission, according to their lifespan, and according to their whatever circumstances require. So that architecture, unlike, for example, ISS, which we now even it worked very well for many, many years, but we still have to kind of deorbit it and pretty much in one piece. So essentially we build this gigantic structure, and now because it's old, we have to deorbit the entire this monumental architectural wonder, pretty much, which is flying in space. This one is completely different from that standpoint, because it allows to plug modules as you want, unplug them, deorbit them, and essentially keep the station
right
for unlimited period of time. It basically has no horizon for its operation.
David, we have a couple of minutes.
Anatoly, is Russia's on-orbit construction part of this? Are they focusing and developing AI and robotics, or do they rely on human labor for astronauts to put it all together and get it working?
There will be both elements involved. The Russian, traditionally, actually, all Russian docking and assembly systems are automated. And we saw like huge 20-ton modules come and basically dock softly to the rest of the structure without any involvement of pilots on board. So that will use the same or even more advanced systems to do this. However, the major difference is that they want, because of, first of all, financial situation and because of the way the spaceflight evolves in Russia, they want it to be a kind of man-tended capability. It will not have a crew 365 days a year. It will be essentially several kind of visiting expeditions to the station. And during the absence of the crew, there will be long periods which nobody will be on board. They will have to operate all the equipment with the use of some sort of remote control or autonomous navigation or some kind of maybe artificial intelligence if they get that far, if they have technologies like that to operate in space. So, yes, it will be a robotically operated big part of its mission.
And right now, what I see is everything needs to be redesigned, and They need subcontractors. All of these things are ahead of them. Is the Cosmonaut Corps trained to man a new station? Do they need to recruit, or have they got the people in place? We have about a minute.
They will have. They have people in place because, again, technologies are similar, and they really train people for different tasks, so that's not a problem. But they will definitely, within, because it's, again, we're talking about 10, 15, and 20 years ahead, so they will certainly will be bringing new people, fresh people in to train and for just to be a new generation of people who will be working on this.
We look to the future of the Russian space station along with what replaces the ISS, unless, of course, it's transferred to private enterprise and turns into a kind of Ritz-Carlton in orbit. Other commercial enterprises now seeking to build space stations in orbit, and, of course, China has a space station. We look forward to the day when Earth orbit for space stations is as crowded as Grand Central Station. Anatoly Zaka, the Russian Space Web, a subscription site I highly recommend. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show, I also highly recommend. I'm John Batzler, Hotel Mars, Episode N.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.